Last week, and the week before that, speaking of the weeks after Pentecost, we're only on the fourth week now, we heard about the calling of the apostles. We heard about all saints. And finally, last week, we heard about what it is, how it is a disciple of the Lord lives. That a disciple has a single eye, a single vision. Once that vision is corrupted or fragmented or become blurry with cares and worries and anxieties, I don't mean plans and responsibilities that we have in our life, but with the anxiety that the Lord says, be not anxious, that kind of anxiety. Once our single vision, which is directed to what? The kingdom of God and its fullness. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given. That's what we heard last week. Once our vision is corrupted, we become full of cares and worries. And then our lives start to not only be corrupted, but to fragment. We don't have assurance in the peace of God in our heart because we have set our goals on something besides the kingdom. Sorry to repeat myself. You know, I've probably never done that in church. So I apologize. I said last week that that gospel is to take us back to Christian basics. How to live. What's a disciple look like? And this week, we have a wonderful illustration of that. Discipleship. In the centurion. A man who was not even a Jew, but as a pagan Roman soldier. That's what Jesus holds up as, I have never seen such faith, not in Israel. That's our example today. So let that give us some hope. God casts his net very far and wide. This man was a man under authority, he said. He was a centurion. In other words, century. He had a century of men, 100 men under him. And he said he understood how this works. I'm a man under authority, and there are other men under me. I say go, and he goes. I say, do this, and he does it. It's what the military now jokes about. The sarge says, jump, and you say, how high. This man understood how Jesus works. He put himself under the lordship of Christ. He barely knew him, but he had heard of him, and he had seen his miracles. We're in chapter 8 of Matthew. You've just heard the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 4, 5, and 6, 7. We get to chapter 8 and 9, and there are 10 blessings, 10 miracles. No doubt that contrast, by the way, for the careful reader of the scripture, with the 10 plagues in Egypt. 10 blessings and 10 healings take place in those two chapters. No doubt the centurion had heard about this. And so he comes to Christ and says, my servant is gravely ill. He is dying. Please come. The Lord says, he doesn't have to come. The man understands. Well, sorry, I have the story backwards. The Lord says, I will come. The man says, you don't need to come. You have the authority. That's my point one. That's how a disciple lives with God. Accepts God's word. Trusts in the Lord. Trusts in Christ. The second thing, my second point, is that the main character, the main person in this account, is someone you don't see. It's that sick servant. Why do I say he is the key and the main character? That man who is gravely ill who is the servant or the slave of this centurion, represents all those people in your life that you pray for, that you intercede for, and receive the blessings of God upon them in that self-same hour, as it says. Our world is a very dangerous place, and there are terrible things that are happening all the time. They would be much worse without your prayers for those that you love, that you care for, that God sends blessings upon, just as he sent upon this slave. But the key to those prayers being effective is not God. He is always full of love and compassion. He is always full of kindness and care for his creatures. The key of our intercession is what St. Paul describes in that epistle from Romans, which we've been reading now since Pentecost. You have been set free from sin and death, he says. It just so happens to the July 4th weekend. We heard that word free in that epistle 3 or 4 times. I'm not speaking about political freedom, which is a complicated thing. And in any case, it doesn't mean freedom of expression. I was on the highway, which they call the freeway, yesterday. And it was anything but free. We respect those in front of us and behind us, and we have to go 2 miles an hour through Petaluma. That's just the way it is. I'm not talking about political freedom. I'm talking about the freedom from death and sin. St. Paul says, and I'll bring this back in a moment to our story, who whatever you obey, you are that's the slave of that thing. Do you have fear? You are a slave of fear. Do you have addiction? You're a slave of addiction. Do you have a love of pleasure? You are a slave of pleasure. Are you an egotist and only care about yourself? You are a slave of your own desires and your own impulses, your own passions. You are not free. Christ has come, and through the cross has made us not only the possibility to be free from those things, those impulses, but free from death and free from sin. It's a free gift from God. What's not free is death. Their wages of sin is death. We somehow earn that. But Christ has given us freedom in the soul, in the spirit. Not the kind of freedom where, as some people have told me recently, I just want to live in peace and quiet. I don't want any trouble. That's not going to happen on this planet. You may have moments of that, but it's going to be from a gift from God. It's not going to be from a lack of trouble and wars and conflict around you. That's guaranteed. It's also guaranteed that those that we love are going to die, and we will too. And there's fear associated with that. No, the kind of freedom we get from Christ is freedom from death itself and freedom from ourselves. St. Paul says, you have become slaves of righteousness because you are dead to sin and death. I'm telling you this because if you want your prayers to be effective, like that centurion, that pagan Roman soldier whose faith was the best Christ had seen in the New Testament, then put your trust in Christ, become free. Trust in him. Practice prayer every day. Practice gratitude for whatever occurs to you. Practice generosity from what the Lord gives to you. Deny your own impulses to be angry, to be egotistical, to be addicted to something. Turn to Christ always, and you will be like this great centurion and those invisible recipients of God's very great grace will be saved because of you. And that's freedom. And that's what we need to give our Lord. If you need examples, look at St. John today. His prayers saved so many and gave so many blessings and healed so many people. He's a challenge to us, as Father Irenae preached in his sermon yesterday at Geary Street. He's a challenge to us to not make excuse that in our times, Father Theodore said so eloquently last night, in our days, in this society, we can't be holy. We are here exactly to acquire Christ, his love, and his holiness. May the Lord himself work in your life on this 4th of July and grant blessings to those invisible, far-off loved ones you have, so that they may be filled with the joy and healing and truth of the Lord. Amen.